It's time to hear what's good, what's bad, and what's ugly at the cinemas and on DVD. Get ready for...
Wait for it!
Film Sociology with WFYI's film guru.
Kaiser Soze!
No, that's Matthew Soze.
It's such a fine line between stupid and clever. Yeah.
Let's find out how thin the line is. Here's your host, Matthew Soze.
I want a party. I want a samba.
Thank you for waiting. Your call is very important to us. Welcome to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD to the Point and WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, besides where the hell were you, you can email me at msoci@WFYI.org. I'm also on Facebook. The show is available as a podcast. It's also available on iTunes. You can go to WFYI.org to check out the podcast. And we also have a blog, which you can check out at
filmsociology.tumblr.com.
Com.
Man with the taco making skills.
That's right.
And
Bread making skills.
Banana bread, yeah. Yes. Cool, very good. Yeah, a man who bakes. We like that. And, of course, he had his own NFL experience earlier this week, Kobe Slagle.
Hello, hello.
Joining us, Joe Shearer of the film. Yeah, hey, Joe.
Hello.
How you doing?
And I apologize for that. That's my fault. We're running a little bit late.
No, just the audience got to enjoy more Curtis Mayfield. That's always a good thing. So it's been... You think we're hosting a big party or something in town? This has been a lot of fun.
Yeah, I heard they got that Super Bowl on.
The football. And, well, this, you know, it's funny you mentioned that because Kobe and I earlier were on official business over at Sun King Brewery.
Official.
And, of course, one of the most powerful people in Sun King informed us that they were gonna have the rock music there tonight.
They will have the rock and roll music.
The rock and roll music.
The kids love the rock and roll.
The kids do love
it. That's what this guy said.
Really? So, yeah.
Yeah.
I guess it's true. It must be
true. It is. So, lots of stuff going on. Now, you're on assignment. Well, not right this moment, but you're on assignment tonight, right?
Yeah, kind of. That's what certain people think.
Put up your finger quotes. What's your assignment?
I am headed out to Plainfield. There's some kind of a soiree there.
Celebrities in Plainfield?
Yes, and they're shutting the town down, and I don't know, lightning.
Because celebrities are
thunder,
coming to town?
I don't know. The town might collapse. No, it's a big party tonight. I don't even know where it's at.
Wow, you're crack journalism on the case.
I'm right on top of it.
Okay.
Lots of people there are supposed to be there. I'm hearing some MJD, that's Maurice Jones-Drew.
That was like Miller Genuine Draft.
Those who don't play fantasy football. My personal favorite, Maroon 5 is supposed to be there. Love the Maroon 5.
There's a great room reference, but we'll continue. Snoop Dogg is going to be Snoop Dogg in Plainfield.
Yes. Now that's
well.
Just,
if George Clinton can be in Broad Ripple, I guess Snoop Dogg can be in Plainfield.
I don't see why not. I cannot.
And Ryan Gosling apparently was in Zionsville.
Whatever. Yeah, I heard Johnny Depp and Brad Pitt were staying in Columbus or something.
Indiana.
Yeah, I saw that too.
Yeah. And allegedly DiCaprio and Tom Cruise just got into town.
Really?
Yeah. I can't confirm that, but that's what I heard.
Mackenzie Roth and Rashida Jones are in Richmond, but that doesn't mean anything. Yeah. Hi, Mackenzie. I'm kidding. That's fine. Doors open. Okay, so let's talk a little bit now. Of course, tonight, if you don't have movie plans tonight, it's okay. Tonight at the IMA, they are showing Gentlemen Prefer Blondes.
Oh.
If you're a fan of Marilyn Monroe and Jane Russell, both, even better.
I am.
Yes. And also opening in theaters, Chronicle, which is high school friends with superpowers.
Yeah.
And we also have The Woman in Black, not the Gene Wilder remake. That's The Woman in Red. But this is the first, quote-unquote, grown-up film starring Daniel Radcliffe. So he's done one. She's done. Ron Weasley hasn't done a grown-up movie yet, has he? Not yet. So we'll see.
Not yet.
You, Ron Weasley. And opening also today in Emma's world, known as the Whale movie, also known as the Drew Barrymore Whale movie, but Big Miracle, which is not about the fat U.S. hockey team. This is Drew Barrymore and John Krasinski and Whales, and you got to check out this one.
I did, and my kids saw it with me.
Correspondent.
And it was a great time. It was the three of them versus me. In the movie, and
wait, the whales were fighting you?
And well, no, the kids were fighting the whales and the dad.
What?
And the whales and the dad lost.
I don't know what that means.
I thought this was a film about whales being stuck. I didn't know they were fighting.
Well, no, they're not. But this was all taking place in the theater. So there
were
was,
whales in the theater?
The kids were fighting the whales?
In a
and
sense.
Also fighting you?
Were the Hartford Whalers there?
There was no cross-checking. there was some high-sticking. That was Mason.
And you go into penalty box and feel shame.
Yes.
And then you are set free.
You feel the eyes beating down on you when about the eighth time your child kicks the seat in front of them. And,
yeah, that sense.
Yeah. And, Daddy, I have to go to the bathroom.
When?
Every time.
Every scene. All right, well, here's a little bit of audio, and then we'll get Joe's review of Big Miracle.
The avocado. This little guy and pretty much everything else in town has to take four separate plane rides to arrive up here in Chili Barrow, Alaska. Adam.
Your material up there seems like it's running a little thin.
What the heck?
I think Barrow might have one great story left in her.
This is solid ice. It goes for 5 miles from here to the open ocean.
Three gray whales are now trapped in walls of ice 6 inches thick.
You have whales in trouble and you didn't call me?
I didn't call you because there's nothing you can do.
There's always something you can do.
Rachel, I'd like you to meet Fred and Wilma. And this is Bam Bam.
Everything's gonna be okay. Governor Haskell, we were wondering if you could mobilize a ship that can break through the ice.
Are you serious?
With every passing hour, their path to freedom slips further away as more of the ocean turns solid.
All we need is the cooperation from the governor, but the governor has basically turned his back on the whales.
I hate her so much.
We will do everything we can to help these poor creatures.
Pretty amazing, huh?
The National Guard will pull the icebreaker where it's desperately needed.
The pole should be a piece of cake.
Nothing's that simple in the Arctic.
This is a monumental task as all eyes and efforts are focused on saving the whales.
The temperature has dropped through the floor. We can't keep up with the ice.
The town of Barrow has shut down as school children and shopkeepers alike furiously work to cut a path to the ocean.
Where's Bam Bam? He's not coming up.
Maybe he's hurt.
You can't go down there. It's too dangerous.
The only icebreaker within navigable distance belongs to the Soviets.
I'll be damned if I'm going to let the Reds in to save the day.
Then those whales are going to die. Even though they're big and powerful. They're so much like us. We're vulnerable. We get scared. And we need help sometimes, too.
All right, Joe. So is this film or The Gray? Which one's colder?
It's a toss-up. This is pretty darn cold. This is a little warmer and fuzzier, though, on the inside.
Sorry, story. Yeah. John Krasinski's not beating up whales.
Yeah.
Although you said there were whales fighting in the anyway.
That's all very conceptual. So that was the kids were. Never mind.
Okay, so whales are stuck. Drew Barrymore and John Krasinski, who I guess they were a couple, but now they're not. But their love of the whales overpowers everything.
Yeah, there's really a lot going on in this movie for being such a simple story.
It seems like because there's that, and there's Dermot Mulroney who doesn't want the Russians, and there's Ted Danson, who's everybody's favorite CEO, and. Mm-hmm. Tim Blake Nelson, who keeps his clothes on compared to his work in The Good Girl.
Stephen Root also is in there.
Yeah, he's a politician we don't like.
Yeah. Speaking of politicians, there's a couple of very nice cameos. There's one I don't want to spoil, but we might want to talk about in a few minutes after we get all this good stuff out of the way.
Off the air, yeah. Right.
Well, maybe on air, but, we'll, without spoiling.
Oh, I see. It's good that we can reveal something on the air without spoiling it. That's good. Okay.
Yeah.
So, no, how was it?
It was fine. It wasn't. It's not going to blow you away,
It's not going to offend you.
You've seen this movie 1,000 times. It's perfectly heartwarming and kind and fun. And the one good thing they did was they didn't have the good guys who want to save the whales and the evil bad guys who want to just kill the whales.
Stephen Root doesn't want to slice up the blubber and burn.
Yeah, Stephen Root really just, he doesn't care. Until he has to. Ted Danson's kind of the same way. He's a villain toward the beginning. He's an oil baron, wants to drill.
But then when he's...
Didn't you say the same thing about Green Lantern, where Ryan Gosling doesn't care until he has to at the end?
No, that's Ryan Reynolds.
Or Ryan Reynolds.
Ryan Gosling and Green Lantern would have been much better.
That would have been a lot better.
Much better.
I would have watched that twice.
But then I saw Ted Danson get sprayed by a whale, but he's okay with that.
Yeah, he laughed at it. Yeah, that's kind of the neat thing is, they could have very easily had... the villains who just want to kill the whales and then have the nefarious plot toward the end just as they're about to save them. Somebody comes in and tries to kill them.
Right.
But the people who kind of didn't support the rescue of the whales, they either kind of come around or they kind of just go away.
You're kind of a jerk if you don't want to help save the whales, I think.
Yeah. And of course they have Ted Danson's that character being, I don't want to save some whale. I don't want to use my boat to save some whale. And there's this really nice scene where his wife kind of manipulates him into doing it. She kind of tells, you'd really be a hero. Could you imagine how silly that'd be? He's like, yeah, me saving someone. And then he stops and he's like, wait a minute. And then she gets this little smile on her face. He goes off and makes his call. And
of course.
Yeah. But yeah, you know, it's
harmless.
Yeah, it's harmless. It's fun. It's family friendly. Like I said, all three of my kids were there. They enjoyed it.
When they weren't fighting whales.
Yeah, screaming and battles. You know,
did you have to explain to them that Bam Bam was not Fred and Wilma's kid?
No, they actually do that for you in the movie.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Because I see that. I'm like, shenanigans on that one, or unless it's a boy whale.
Yeah.
That's... I assume it's the son whale. Okay, because if you start throwing off the foundations of bedrock, that's bad things will happen.
Yeah, they do explain that okay. Very quickly and briefly and get it out of the way.
All right, fine. Yeah. That's all right.
Yeah, but I mean, there's so much going on. Dermot Mulroney's character, said, the army general.
The Russians? Or did he say the Reds? What are we, 1980? is Rocky fighting Drago again?
Yeah, I guess we can't technically spoil this since it's a historical event.
Is based or inspired by a true story?
I can't remember which one they use. I'm sure there are liberties taken, but you kind of get the feeling in this one that they're really making pains to include everyone who was involved, because there are just too many arcs. There are kind of things they have to kind of cut off and, you know, condense down a little bit. You got John Krasinski has two romantic angles going at the same
time.
Yeah.
Well, he's a stud.
Yeah. And, you know, there's so much. There's, you know, this National Guard guy, and then he's having a little tit-a-tet with the White House staffer.
He
lady.
Was making finger gestures,
I wish everybody could have seen that.
That was good.
We need a camera in here.
We've talked about that, and that's a scary thing. Wait a second. Mr. Slagle has his mic on. You have an issue with John Krasinski having two romantic plots?
No. Huh?
Okay.
No.
He's not on the list.
No. I love John Krasinski. Yeah.
Not as much as ladies do.
Apparently, they all do, because they were just fighting each other to be the romantic interest. You know, there's Kristen Bell is the other one. Drew Barrymore, of course, the primary.
Oh, rough life.
Yeah,
huh?
Yeah. And, you know, there's so you got all that going on.
So did she cry in this movie as much as she did on Ellen?
She had a
breakdown.
Don't
give her wild animals. She'll have a breakdown.
Yeah, she has a breakdown at one point, but I don't remember a lot of crying necessarily.
So,
a lot of helicopters
and ships and Eskimos.
And
snow things, cold weather things.
Yeah, lots and lots. And lots of archival footage of politicians and Tom Brokaw and Larry King and all these people just kind of there. They have a really, really bad Ronald Reagan impersonator see from behind.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah, very. And then they have like real footage of him. They involve the Bush Dukakis thing because this is '88, so they're doing all that.
So it is set in the '80s. So
yeah,
so that they can call them Reds and it's okay.
Yeah, they definitely do. But that's a highlight for me. Number one, that we're not going to let those Reds take credit for this.
The Dodgers, yes, but not the Reds. Screw Johnny Bench.
And now I would like people who are going to see this movie to maybe get in touch with us in some way, tell us what's going on here. There is a certain cameo in this movie, like I mentioned earlier.
Okay.
Don't want to say who it is. It's very funny.
It's Joe Morgan. You don't want the Reds. It's Tony Perez.
It's Dave Concepcion.
He's going to save the whales.
But it's right toward the end. This person is a kind of a big figure in politics today, gets a credit at the end of the movie for an archive footage, you know, a 10-second little snippet.
Did this guy invent the internet?
This person did not invent the internet.
Okay, all right, it's not that guy.
But it's not too hard given the setting of the film to maybe figure it out. Who this person might be. I mean, this person gets a credit at the end, in the credits, which means she also got a paycheck, right?
From Warner Brothers.
Yeah, I only saw her name in the credits as herself. I wasn't looking until I actually saw her name. I don't remember seeing Larry King or Brokaw or, you know, whoever else get any kind of credit. I'm wondering if this does not play into that person's reputation of looking for money wherever she can get it.
I see.
I noted that in my review. And,
which you can
read
at.
Which you can check out.
At thefilmyap.com.
Okay.
But I do want to say, if anyone goes to see the movie, watch the credits for me and send us an email in here.
You don't make your children watch the credits?
Yeah, well,
sit down and watch these.
There is the new thing in these inspired by a true story movies that they did
actual footage.
Yeah, show they compare the real people with the characters in the movie
and the real whales to the
and they have the real whales which look exactly like the CG / robot whales they use in the movie.
No,
I don't know that they actually went the dolphin tail route and used the actual whales.
Trapped whales under the ice. You're not getting fed until we get the shot right.
Yeah, I think that's pretty doubtful, but it was. That's kind of a neat little touch, I think, that they do nowadays. But.
Better than Free Willy?
Sure. I'm, you know. I'm not a Free Willy lover by any means. It's a different movie. I would compare it more maybe to Dolphin Tale than I would something like Free Willy.
Okay.
Just because of the true story. I guess Free Willy is a true story too, but this, you know, it's more of a similar story where there's this concerted effort by a small group of people to save these animals, and then there's kind of other people.
Well, this one doesn't have Michael Madsen cutting off Free Willy's ear.
No. Was that Free Willy where he cuts off?
I think so.
Free Willy 2?
There was
and 3.
And 4.
What?
Did 4 go to theaters?
Yeah, Bindi Irwin starred in it.
Really?
No
yeah, it's Escape from Guantanamo Bay.
No, it's not.
It's Escape from Pirate's Cove or something.
We're making up movie titles now. That's awesome.
No, seriously, there was a Free Willy. I think it was 4. Yeah, straight to video, but yeah.
So 3 went to theaters.
Yeah, I think so.
I'm going to do some web-based research here.
That's good, what we do here at Film Sociology, crack production. Although, Kobe, I hate to give you a heads up, I think we're going to have an audio reaction to Joe's review.
Ooh. How neat is that? That's pretty neat.
It's also an art film.
There we go.
But it's not...
It's not really an art film.
No, but but he's recommending it, so it's the opposite of his other famous reaction.
Oh no, that was Chris. Oh wait, oh yeah.
Because I love to hear it.
Yes, it is opposite of this.
It's dumb.
It's not dumb. So when do you show the kids Orca?
I would show them this one first.
Well, no, I know, but your kids have seen it. Now are you going to show them Richard Harris and Charlotte Rampling and Bo Derek getting her leg bitten off?
We might do that. We might do that next
in a few years.
In a few years, whenever the wife lets me.
Right. All right, we're going to take a short break while Kobe does some crack research, and we'll talk about what's new on DVD and Blu-ray. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD to the Point and WFYI.org.
Have you heard anything about either one of them?
I find it's best to stay out of other people's affairs.
You know who I can do without? I can do without the people in the video store.
Which ones?
All of them.
What would you get for a 6-year-old boy who chronically wets his bed?
So do you have any new movies in?
Do you have that one with that guy who was in that movie that was out last year?
They never rent quality flicks. They always pick the most intellectually devoid movie on the racks.
Ooh, Navy SEALs!
It's like in order to join, they have to have an IQ less than their shoe size.
Just go open the video store.
Yeah, open the video store.
Blockbuster Video. Wow, what a difference.
Thanks, Wesley. Welcome back to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD to the Point and WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msoci@WFYI.org.
Joe, do you know Wesley Willis of Supersize Me fame? Rock and Roll McDonald's?
Not is he the guy that eats a Big Mac every day?
No, that's Morgan Spurlock. Wesley Willis was a musician out of Chicago. That it was him and a Casio, and his voice, just the two of them. It's brilliant. Oh. And
so he's a Police Academy guy.
No, he's not Michael Winslow. Michael Winslow's still alive.
Oh,
career's not, but
unfortunately,
God, we'll have to work on that. A prescription from Dr. Sozi of a lot of Wesley Willis for Joe Scheer. Joe Scheer of the Film Yap is hanging out with us. He enjoyed the Dolphin movie and the Whale movie.
The whale movie.
But now we're going to move on to some titles that are on DVD and Blu-ray. And for me, the big title this week, was my number two film of 2011, Drive, with Ryan Gosling, who apparently is roaming around Indianapolis.
With Johnny Depp. This was number two behind The Artist?
Behind The Artist.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Yes, really. And rock-solid performance, minimal performance by Mr. Gosling, as well as Carey Mulligan, Ron Perlman, Bryan Cranston, and probably should have been nominated, but we're not going to gripe until it gets closer to the Oscars, Albert Brooks. And Gosling plays a stunt driver who also is a driver to do miscellaneous crime getaways on the side. Oh, not enough Christina Hendricks for my taste. No, yeah. The film's not perfect.
Never have too much.
Exactly. But are we wrong? But
there's nothing wrong about this.
not a thing. So hit the trailer.
If I drive for you, you give me a time and a place. I give you a 5-minute window. Anything happens in that 5 minutes and I'm yours, no matter what. I don't sit in while you're running it down. I don't carry a gun. I drive.
So you just moved to LA?
No, I've been here for a while.
What do you do?
I drive for movies.
Is that dangerous?
It's only part-time. You put this kid behind the wheel, there's nothing he can't do.
Kid, I want you to meet Mr. Bernie Rose.
My hands are a little dirty.
So am I.
My husband is coming home.
Where is he?
He's in prison.
There's some guys that want me to do a job for him, and I'm not going to do it. What is that you got there? One of those men gave you that? What's the job? When you get your money, his debt's paid. You never go near his family again. Did you have any idea there'd be a second car?
He said there would be another car to hold us up.
Whose money do I have?
I'm gonna tell you something. Anybody finds out, we're both dead.
That's why this driver's gotta go, Bernie. He's gotta go.
No. Any dreams you have or plans for your future, I think you're going to have to put that on hold. For the rest of your life, you're going to be looking over your shoulder.
This film reminds me that I think 2011, for at least me and other crusty old film critics out there, is the year of nostalgia, because films like The Artist and Hugo and even the an homage to the throwbacks to the drive-ins and the grindhouse, of course, one of our favorites, Hobo with a Shotgun.
Oh, yeah.
And, well, it was. And this film, a few film titles that every critic has used to compare it to, and I highly recommend all of these films, is Le Samurai, the Alain Delon assassin film, French film from the late 60s, Walter Hill's The Driver. The film also has a feel that's very similar to the early Michael Mann films like Thief and Manhunter.
Yeah.
It's kind of a glossy early 80s, or it's almost that Tangerine Dream soundtrack, and I mean, it's just the filmmakers and the actors, I don't know whether they did the homework or not, it just looks like a cool early 80s, you know, action movie. Action scenes that you know, driving scenes you can actually watch, you know, that this is actually, I think, a driver, not CG. And, you know, for Gosling, who had a pretty good 2011.
Oh, yeah.
Pretty good.
Oh, yeah.
Between Ides of March and Crazy Stupid Love and this film. And it's not quite Eastwood as far as minimalism, as far as The Man with No Name, but he keeps it very close to the vest and very entertaining to watch. And Albert Brooks does a 180, really, as a scary old mobster. But this was just a lot of fun to watch. Now, as cool as the driving scenes are, the car chase scenes, it's not wall-to-wall violence, but when it happens, it's pretty extreme. I think much more so than any of us had anticipated, but that kind of added to the thrill of it. So I had a lot of fun watching this. Obviously, it's number two on my list. So, you know, go rent it, go buy it. If you didn't see it in theaters, that's a shame. Because, and also the fact that it's, you know, I made reference to The Driver and Le Samurai. These are more navel-gazing action films. It's not wall-to-wall action, but it should be just enough to tide you over. But this thing was a thrill to watch, and hopefully you can check that out at home.
Yes!
It was unbelievable!
Wow, that'd be some good film in there, Mr. Soce.
Did you just add that? Is that now a long version of the excellent response?
No, I just played them one after the other.
See, you're that's why you're on the engineer board there, sir. That's quite good.
Quite.
Okay. Do we have the trailer for the film I have to go to next? Because this has got it.
Do you want to hear it or no?
No.
Okay.
Because really, us talking about the stuff before the movie was better than the movie itself when Gina was here reviewing this. But this is Dreamhouse. This is the PG-13 thriller with Daniel Craig, Rachel Weisz, and Naomi Watts. And it's directed by Jim Sheridan, who, when he's not doing films like My Left Foot and In the Name of the Father, he's doing films like Get Rich and Die Tryin' and this picture.
Wow.
And it's, I will give it this, because you couldn't quite tell from the trailer, which I'm not going to play, but it takes three tired storylines and puts them into one film. I thought it was just one tired storyline, but Craig and Weisz are a couple. They moved into a new house that's currently under renovation, and they find out that something really bad happened in the house before they moved in with the former tenants. So you have haunted house story, then you have is it all in his head type of movie, and then the last 10 minutes, I really probably shouldn't give it away, but it's everybody's in on it's a kind of a conspiracy plot that's all, and all of these have been done to death.
Yeah.
Now, acting wise, it's okay. I mean, it helps that you have people who can act in these thrillers. I think of Tony Goldwyn in Last House on the Left, or Virginia Madsen in A Haunting in Connecticut, as folks that actually have some acting chops. That helps from what is really a tired script.
Yeah.
And also, when you, again, I'm trying not to give away too much for those that actually want to rent this. When you cast a name actor and they don't have squat to do in the first two or three reels, that, of course, means they're going to wind up at the end of the film, because why else would they have signed on to this? That bothered me, because I kept waiting for said actor to show up again, because there's no way said actor took this job to work with Jim Sheridan just for two tiny dinky scenes.
Yeah.
So that also bothered me. Yeah, this film was frustrating and it made me angry. So there's this.
No! No, 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 no! No! No, 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 no!
All right. Also, new titles out this year. Did you see The Thing?
I did not.
Neither did I.
I heard bad things.
Bad things. So
bad things.
And then you got through half of In Time.
Maybe not quite half of In Time. It was high concept, and it wasn't so much it was terribly bad.
This is Justin Timberlake running with Amanda Siegfried, and he's got time on his arm, and it's is money.
Money is gone. Time is now the currency, it's a very subtle metaphor on
subtle.
The class wars.
Right.
You run out of time and you die. Everyone stops aging conveniently at age 25. So
is that Logan's Run?
Yeah. So everyone can be pretty. And Olivia Wilde plays Justin Timberlake's mother. Was that the two of them getting freaky in Alpha Dog? Was that Timberlake and her? Or was that was Emil Hirsch? I think.
Oh, okay.
But that would have
freaking
that's
me
really
out there, man.
Yeah, it's very uncomfortable, because you would expect them to be more of romantic leads than mom.
She had Justin when she was 4.
Yeah. Well, she's supposed to be 50, but they stop aging at 25. So
bad makeup.
Yeah. So she's she looks the same.
Oh,
she's
I see.
She's gonna look young forever until she dies. But she could die at any moment.
Oh, that's uncomfortable.
She takes a sick day and she could die. You know, basically.
I see.
But yeah, it's very it's kind of high concept sci-fi stuff. I supposedly it kind of falls off a cliff. I haven't gotten to that point. I was okay. You know, it was just very late at night when I was watching it, and
that happens.
I'd stop.
That happens to all of us.
Yeah, so we'll I'll pick it back up and we'll check in on that.
See, folks, film critics fall asleep too.
Oh yeah.
Hopefully not at a screening, but at home it happens. So all right, so now that we also have the Academy Awards season, we are among that. So there's a lot of, especially from Miramax, they've pulled out a lot of, not a lot, they pulled out many stops for the new clump of DVD, actually Blu-rays that are out. So here's what's available now on Blu-ray. You might want to get these. You have to check and see if they have any more special features on them compared to the DVD you already bought. I know I did. For instance, this isn't Miramax, but this is Universal. But they have released To Kill a Mockingbird.
Yeah.
Must have in any format.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So, great stuff. Gregory Peck, best actor. Mm-hmm. Horton Foote got a best adapted screenplay for doing that. Miramax is putting out Shakespeare in Love.
Yep.
Still beat Saving Private Ryan, folks. Yep. Deal with it. Cold Mountain, which I really liked.
I think that was my number two film.
Mm-hmm. You have Jude Law, Nicole Kidman, and other non-Americans in American film. It doesn't matter. Yes. Oh, that's going to irritate Tracy. Academy Award winner Renee Zellweger. She won the Oscar for that. Philip Seymour Hoffman is from the director of The English Patient. By the way, English Patient, Anthony Mattelio's film, also out on Blu-ray. Yep. Still don't care about them. It's pretty, as good looking as Ralph Fiennes and Kirsten Scott Thomas are. The Juliette Binoche, who won an Oscar for this, and the Naveen Andrews storyline, much more interesting. Warner Brothers put out Malcolm X on Blu-ray. That's pretty, really good Denzel work. Mm-hmm. Too bad Al Pacino had to win for Son of a Woman in 1992.
Yeah. He was due.
Yeah, I know he was due. God, he was due. could he be due for something better? The Piano. So you get a Best Actress award for Holly Hunter and a Best Supporting Actress for Anna Paquin, and for the ladies, Naked Harvey Keitel.
Yeah.
You're welcome. Aren't you happy Michael Fassbender made movies this year? Also, another Oscar-winning film, Adaptation. Chris Cooper got Best Supporting Actor for that. That's actually a good Nicolas Cage film. He was not paying off his debt.
Played himself. Or no, he played Charlie Kaufman and his twin brother.
And an Oscar nomination for Meryl Streep because we got to see her high and curse.
Yeah.
So, Frida, Oscar-nominated film. I can't remember if it won, but I know Salma Hayek got a nomination for that as Frida Kahlo. Mm-hmm. A Soldier Story, that's from Universal. Really good military courtroom drama with Howard E. Rollins, Adolf Caesar, David Alan Greer's in that as well. Grand Canyon, which I need to watch again because I remember reviewing this film in college and I didn't quite get it. Now that I'm older and crustier, that's with Kevin Kline, Mary McDonnell, Danny Glover, Steve Martin,
and it's
from... director of The Big Chill, Lawrence Kasdan.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, one of my first important kind of political kind of movies was Grand Canyon.
Really?
Yeah. When was that? 92.
92. Yeah.
Yep.
How'd it work for you?
I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it at the time. That was when the L.A. riots were right there.
And we're all just trying to get along.
Yeah. And Danny Glover had to stand up for Kevin Kline.
He did. Yeah. See, it's not just the help.
Yeah.
It's white people have been helping black people and vice versa in movies for a long, long time.
Yep. Yep.
That's how it works. No, I'm kidding.
Unless you're Sandra Bullock.
That's true.
Sandra Bullock don't need no help.
No, she does not. And Sandra Bullock's not in the help. So.
No.
Also out on Blu-ray, Jackie Gleason's last film, remember?
Nothing in common. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Back when Tom Hanks was funny.
Yeah.
And then he got all serious. Bess Armstrong's in that too. Mm-hmm. It's her. And Eva Marie Saint. My father-in-law informed me he saw her first.
Ah.
Yes, Kobe, you know Eva Marie Saint, for she was in On the Waterfront.
Yes.
She was the girl on the waterfront. Yeah.
Superman Returns.
Superman Returns. That's right. It's the How Fast Can You Name Eva Marie Saint films, North by Northwest.
North by Northwest.
Take that, fool.
Speaking of Jackie Gleason, The Toy. See it again.
Why? Richard Pryor.
Because it's bad and it's good.
It's so bad. No, I don't think it's even good bad. I don't think that's even Get Drunk and Watch Bad. That's Richard Pryor, basically an 80s slave comedy.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
If Mr. Shabazz was here. Yeah, he is hired by Jackie Gleason to work for his pole-licking kid, Scott Schwartz.
Yeah.
That's a Christmas Story reference, folks.
Absolutely.
Yeah, no, God, it was terrible.
It was bad.
That was so
bad. I loved that movie when I was a kid.
And then you got older and realized.
I still love it, but it's bad.
It's so offensive.
I think Richard Donner at some point was like, hey, Richard, just do something. Just ride this bike, and we'll pretend like the car is going to hit you. But you don't see it because you're wearing headphones. So you can't hear the train coming up behind you. And you got to stop and let the old lady walk her dog across the street while the cars are piling up. So
that would have been more interesting than the toy.
Really funny. That's no.
He did because that was a year because prior to that, and he did Superman 3. Donner didn't do 3, did he?
No. He was out after 1.5.
That's right. That's right. Okay. Oh man.
Yep.
Terrible. That's
good.
Bad.
Good and, stories and, behind
and,
those.
And
movies.
I'm sure. And Pryor, I know, got a big check for the toy, and he got a big check for Superman 3.
Yeah,
and that's
Jackie Gleason did too.
That's sure. Yes. That's really a shame. How you doing there?
Good.
You checking on something?
Yeah.
You Googled Eva Marie Saint, didn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Vintage chicks.
Yes.
And by the way, speaking of vintage chicks, because he coined the phrase, Sammy Terry is going to be on the show next week.
Hey.
Got that confirmed. Right.
It's
so
gonna be, awesome. It's going to be a horrible show.
I'm gonna tell him you're trying to steal his comedy bits, and he's going to yell at you or laugh at you about it.
He's gonna make you be a zombie.
Suffer.
He's going to come up behind me and do that spooky laugh he does.
And he's going to make you watch freaky movies.
Yeah.
More freakier than me.
Green Slime.
Oh, jeez. Horror Express.
You know, I never got to see Green Slime. I remember he previewed it for 1 week.
The 1969 Japanese monster movie.
Yeah.
Oh, there's still time.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
You're not going to die at 25.
I hope not.
No. also out on Blu-ray from the 80s. The Neverending Story.
Oh, yeah.
Which I showed Emma. She said it was okay. Animals were weird looking. Yeah. Creatures were weird. I was like, well, that was early 80s.
Oh, yeah.
Puppetry work. So.
Yeah, I showed Riley that one.
And then who asked for these to come out on Blu-ray?
Oh,
who asked for the Joe Somebody.
Tim Allen's son.
Remember, yeah, Tim Allen. Okay. Monkey Bone.
Brendan Fraser's son.
What?
The Scout, Brendan Fraser's son, and Albert Brooks' son.
Albert Brooks' son, yeah.
The Golden Compass.
That would be
Nicole Kidman's son.
Nicole Kidman's son.
And Keith Urban. And Daniel Craig, I guess? Yeah.
Daniel Craig's son was like, don't release
it. Don't do it. Journey to the Center of the Earth.
Brendan Fraser's son.
And Scooby-Doo 1 and 2.
Oh, my gosh. That would
Matthew
be,
Lillard, no, son.
I just couldn't get it out.
That's a whole bunch of suck right there. On top of the Oscar winners, which are out on Blu-ray.
Yeah.
So.
And they'll outsell all of the Oscar winners, unfortunately.
That's really sad.
That's a sad commentary.
You know, that is just sad.
That is. All right, let's take a short break. We'll talk to Joe about the film you have. We'll talk about football movies. And finally, a new segment. Because I haven't been able to squeeze it in the last few weeks, called Into the Archives. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD to the Point and WFYI.org. That's Kobe Slagle trying to sound like Bootsy Collins.
That's lo-fi right there. Low tech.
It's mono.
Off the cup. That's radio right there.
Oh, boy. Welcome back to Film Sociology. It's Funk Friday here on WFYI.
You're tuned into Parliament Talk.
Oh, I would love to host Parliament Talk. Yeah, this is Film Sociology. I'm Matthew Sosi, hanging out with Joe Shearer, the Film Me Up, and Kobe Slagle, who's all Parliament and Funkadelic over there. Uh-huh. So, what's going on with the Film You Up?
Oh, you know, a little of this, a little of that.
Wow, great info, Joe. Thanks.
We have the greatest in movie reviews, as always. And as always, the highlight, we give stuff away for nothing. And all you got to do is show up and talk to us.
So what are you giving away next?
You know, we're giving away some copies of the Twilight Saga Breaking Dawn Part 1.
These are great reviews.
No, aren't they great?
Oh, are you looking at it right now, Kobe?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's the Twilight correspondent of Film Sociology is all on Twitter about that. And on Twitter about that. So, okay.
So tell girlfriend Bianca to get in on this contest for Twilight.
On Film Yap.
TheFilmYap.com. You know, movie passes here and there. We got The
Safe
Vow.
Safe House is coming up next week.
Safe House is next week.
Oh, The Vow, yes. From the they're billing that as from the girl from The Notebook and the guy from Dear John. And fellas, you're in a heap of trouble.
Yeah, anything with the guy from Dear John is... Oh.
You're going to have to hold... You know what? You're going to have to hold on to a movie. Find a really good hobo with a shotgun or something.
Yes.
So you're going to, because guys, you're going to have to go see that.
Yep.
Because there's nothing you can do about it.
Yeah. Channing Tatum, boy, he's the human drywall, isn't he?
You know what? He. That's a keeper right there. I saw him. I finally caught up on Haywire earlier this week, which I really enjoyed. Mm-hmm. And watching that scene in the diner with him and the fight scene, as I'm watching this, I'm an old person, and my brain went, wait a minute, how is this different? This feels different. Oh, you can actually see the two people fighting each other, which I love. So I'm like, so I'll give Tatum a little bit of credit for, one, learning the fight scenes, as did Ewan McGregor, as did Michael Fassbender, who, sorry, ladies, keeps his clothes on in this one. But, you know, they actually trained and worked, and because it was cool to see these fights. I've been wanting to see fight scenes that I can actually watch in Transformers and Wolverine, and this film does it.
Yeah.
So enjoyed that very much. So that was cool.
Dear John, not so much.
No fights and no Dear John. And
Boy, G.I. Joe, boy, he's...
You know, that and fighting, was he fighting with Terrence Howard?
Fighting, yeah.
And the dilemma?
Yeah.
Yeah, if you look at that IMDb list, and Kobe, I'm not asking you to because I don't want you to fall asleep during the show. Yeah, that's a list of something.
Yeah, Channing Tatum's face is him. His acting range is this. What is the square root of 5,426 times 9,226? That's him trying to figure that answer out. That's his acting. That's how he acts.
He's the generation's Josh Hartnett.
That's an insult to Josh Hartnett.
Wow. Okay. All right, we got a little bit of time, and I've been trying to get this segment in for a while. This year, hopefully throughout 2012, I'm going to hopefully devote a section. Maybe not every week. It depends on the financial situation or generosity.
Or what you feel like doing.
Or what I feel like doing. But there's a segment we're working on called Into the Archives. And what I'm doing is telling you about films that are available through certain studios' websites. These are the archive series. These are not available in stores. Mm-hmm. You order online and they send it to you. Or, as Kobe likes to put it in college terms,
yo, burn it for like $5.
Only it's not $5. I wish Warner Brothers would charge $5. But they're, you know, Warner Brothers, and probably Warner's the best of the lot, or at least the biggest example of, they're putting out archive titles almost every week or every couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. And it ranges from silent era to the 90s. I know Universal has been doing it as well. MGM has done it. 20th Century Fox, I'm not sure. I have to double check on that. And I have to check on Columbia as well. But so anyway, they have their own little archival thing. Mm-hmm. So I want to start with two films from the 80s, both starring Burt Reynolds. Oh. Both films I saw in theaters because Burt was my guilty pleasure, although I didn't know it was a guilty pleasure at the time. But one is the 1985 crime drama Stick.
Oh, yeah.
Based on the novel by
Elmore Leonard.
Our guy, Elmore Leonard.
Kobe,
get the Elmore Leonard ID. Because I'm happy about this, and then there was also the 1987 action film Malone. Mm-hmm. Now this was an interesting time because by the mid 80s, Burt's star was starting to fade a little bit.
This is Elmore Leonard. I'm listening to Film Sociology. It's a real program. It's great.
Quite possibly my favorite reaction to my show, courtesy of Elmore Leonard. I love you, Dutch. But yeah, he had suffered through stroke or ace, and then in 1984, he did Cannonball Run 2, And Tracy Forner, you met Joe Theismann, and you didn't ask about that. I know you didn't.
No.
But he also made City Heat with Clint Eastwood, and he suffered an injury. He actually got hit with a real chair as opposed to a fake chair.
Oh.
And that caused him to get his jaw wired shut. And there was rumors were starting to float that he had lost a lot of he did lose a lot of weight, but people were saying that he was suffering from a certain disease from the 80s.
Oh.
And this also, I think part of that, along with clashing with the Universal Studios, led to the film Stick, which was supposed to come out in the fall of 84. I remember seeing the trailer for this in the summer and was really I was like a college guy. I was stoked. And I was stoked about seeing this. And it was supposed to come out in the fall, and then they were going to push it to December, but they didn't want it to go up against City Heat, so they pushed it to the spring of 85. And I remember reading reviews about the author. This was the first time I encountered reading about an author who did not like the film at all,
mm-hmm.
even though he is co-credited with the screenplay. Yeah. But as we found out through interviews and other things, not just with me, but Bert apparently tinkered with the script in his own way.
Yeah.
And for a long time, Elmore Leonard had in his office a poster, and the tagline for the film was, the only thing he couldn't stick to were the rules, and he replaced rules with script. So, but, and in this one, Reynolds plays an ex-con who gets back into the business to avenge a friend's death, and Charles Durning's in it with a bad wig, and George Segal, Candace Bergen. But there is one thing that the film should be noted for, and if look for it, and I'm sure you can see the clip on YouTube. But the main villain in this is a hitman named Moki, played by the deceased great stuntman Dar Robinson.
Mm-hmm.
And Robinson did a stunt that was a first time thing on the film Stick. It was his character falls off a building. And you see the camera shooting down, but he was able to do have a wire attached to his ankle that was able to stop the air pressure near the end, so he could do a fall without a net, without an airbag.
Oh.
So you get to see him falling, and then there's a cutaway shot. But for its time, really impressive work. And if you look at Dar Robinson's credits, everything from Lethal Weapon, Sharky's Machine, he does the great jump at the end of that film. He's worked with Reynolds a few times. Just the guy warmed up for a stunt by jumping off the Space Needle. I mean, he was just that kind of. I know, and the Astrodome. He jumped off the Houston Astrodome. So anyway, it was a really cool stunt. And that was probably the most memorable thing about it. And, you know, had I not read the novel Stick, it kind of looked like Burt Reynolds' version of Miami Vice, because it was shot in Miami. It's 1984. Uzis and scorpions and voodoo and all that.
Cool.
But no Don Johnson.
Cool.
Cool. Now, and then 2 years later, by the mid to late 80s, he's doing some action films. It was like Bronson. Bronson was starting to get older, and the films at Cannon weren't all that exciting. And he did a film called Malone, where he's an ex-CIA assassin who's on the run, and he goes to a small Oregon town, even though it's shot in British Columbia. And, of course, everything is getting bought up by future Patriot, played by Cliff Robertson, Academy Award winner Cliff Robertson.
Mm-hmm.
Lauren Hutton's in the film as well. And Kenneth McGinley, I believe, the poor man's Charles Durning.
Oh, yeah.
That guy is in it as well. And, Bert's toupee stays on as he's fighting and shooting and jumping. And it's drive-in fodder, I guess, for the most part. So, is there a reason why these films are in the archives? Yeah, because only nerds like me will buy them and talk about them. So they're out there if you want to check those out, if you remember watching these in the drive-in in the 80s.
Yeah.
You didn't, Kobe, because the 80s were a different time.
Well,
you weren't here.
Yeah, that was B.C.
Before Kobe.
Yes.
Before
yeah.
Kobe.
And, okay, so this weekend, Super Bowl, and I want to acknowledge my colleague and our colleague,
mm-hmm.
Ed Johnsonat, who wrote in Nouveau this week, Football and Film, and he makes reference to Semi-Tough, which I also remember seeing in theaters in 1977, a screwball comedy with a football theme with Burt Reynolds, Kris Kristofferson, and Jill Clayburgh.
Mm-hmm.
He also mentions Rudy, because apparently you have to if you live in this state,
yep.
whether you're a fan of Notre Dame or not.
Mm-hmm.
North Dallas 40, which is still one of the best football films to date,
mm-hmm.
even though Mac Davis's cast is a quarterback. But one of Nick Nolte's best roles, and it's the never-ending fight on, is football a sport or is it a business?
Yeah.
And we're still talking about that today. Kind of like we're still talking about violence in hockey and Slapshot, which was from the same era.
Yeah.
The original Longest Yard,
Yeah.
You know, another another awesome Burt Reynolds film. And the thing I love about this, also directed by Robert Aldrich, still watchable even today. Mm-hmm. But I remember it was just a nice little touch. The day before the Adam Sandler remake released, Eddie Albert died.
Oh.
He was Eddie Albert lived to be 99. Of course, plays the warden in the original.
Yeah.
That's what killed him.
That's what
I
killed
think.
Him.
So, thanks a lot, Adam Sandler.
Yeah, he's in town. We can take vengeance on him for that.
What, Eddie Albert?
Adam Sandler.
Oh, Adam Sandler.
In town, yeah.
Hey man, you killed Eddie Albert. You suck.
Now tell me if I'm wrong. I want to take issue with Ed's column.
Why?
He did not mention two words together: necessary roughness.
No, he didn't.
Well, so you know,
is it in there?
If it is, not. Well, we have to put up the Kate Beckinsale color picture of Underworld.
All right, well, we'll chalk it up to Bennett. Scott Bakula as the rocket armed 40-year-old,
and my favorite kicker, Kathy Ireland.
Yeah. Sinbad as a defensive end,
and he's like 40. Oh, yeah. This film is ridiculous.
Oh yeah.
Robert Loggia is the coach, and Hector Elizondo is the assistant coach, or vice versa, and.
Larry Miller's
the dean.
Yeah, the evil dean.
Oh, Kobe. Yeah, you know what? Make Ferris Wheat Bianca watch that. If you have to watch Twilight, watch Necessary Roughness. Yeah. But have a few drinks. What, have a Sun King or four.
Yeah, what school president? No, that's
no,
the TV
this,
show.
No, this was in the 90s. Yeah. 90s were a different time.
Yeah. 90s were a different time.
What school president doesn't want his football team to succeed? You know, I don't like money coming into my school.
Yeah, exactly.
I want this team to be terrible.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah.
Unless you're Joe Pa.
Yeah.
That's all I got to say. He also writes about Friday Night Lights, which I love. That's one where it's where the book, mm-hmm. the film, and the series all equally strong.
Yeah.
Love that. Mm-hmm. One small paragraph for Remember the Titans. Yeah. And of course, he jokingly writes the Peyton Manning story.
Yes. Yeah.
Other note titles that have football involved with them, the Marx Brothers film Horse Feathers, mm-hmm. Heaven Can Wait, mm-hmm. with everyone's second favorite quarterback, Warren Beatty. Jeez, here comes Miss. Yeah, that.
Yeah.
Lucas, if you like Rudy. Let's see, Newt Rockne, All-American. That's, of course, this Gipper speech with Ronald Reagan. Mm-hmm. Jim Thorpe, All-American with Burt Lancaster.
The sequel, right?
Radio. Ooh, that's
Radio.
Yeah, Invincible, Mark Wahlberg.
Yeah,
yeah,
okay.
That's technically a football. Never Any Given Sunday, one of the most obnoxious, over the top football films, but great speech by Al Pacino.
Uh-huh. Last Boy Scout.
Oh jeez, yeah.
Friday night's a great night
feel.
For football.
And Friday night's all right for fighting. No, Saturday night's all right for fighting. And also, Everybody's All-American, which is a football melodrama with Dennis Quaid, Jessica Lange, mm-hmm. and Timothy Hutton. Yeah. So, jeez. I guess we'll have to save this. The Onion a while back. We'll have to have you. What are you doing in 2 weeks? But science fiction films of the 70s. They did a gateway to geekery mm-hmm. about these. So, they mentioned Logan's Run, mm-hmm. which I should make you watch that.
Yeah.
I
believe that's on Instant View on a certain video rental service.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Not the one Wesley was singing about.
the one that tried to change its name and didn't change its mind. Yeah.
Okay. We also have Silent Running, great Bruce Dern film. Dalton Trumbo did that one.
Was that the one about the Jamaican bobsled team?
No, that's Cool Runnings. That's good. Westworld.
The Kevin Costner movie.
No, that's Waterworld. See what he's doing there, folks?
See how that works.
And then there's a Future World, the sequel. But we're not.
The Postman was the sequel to Waterworld.
And the Postman always rings twice.
Yes.
Both versions. And they also say, we're not the start, THX 1138, uh-huh. George Lucas art film. So, wow. Boy, we got through all that.
And we got some time to go.
Plug the film app.
Thefilmyapp.com.
All right. I think we got to read
there
the number.
It is, folks.
There
it
Super is. Bowl weekend. Have Enough fun. Said. Be safe. Here's some words to live by.
Silent Green is people.
Zardoz has spoken.
We did everything we wanted.
Joe,
Joe,
say your name.
Joe Shear.
There we are.
It's not dumb.
It's not dumb.
What more do you want from us? We did it. We did the show. So. Guys, have fun. Enjoy the celebrities. I don't care who wins. Just make sure people from the East Coast spend their money in Indiana. That's
York
a good
Giants.
Thing. You're rooting for the Giants?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Our Peyton Manning movie is going to be Tom Brady versus the Mannings.
Okay. Until the lions get in, I don't care. Go see a good movie. You deserve it. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD to the point, WFYI.org. Let's go to Sun King.
We gone!